They used to sing the Canadian National Anthem, which is what this is, at the camp where my kids go, because we had a lot of kids from Canada coming out to Wisconsin to go to camp.
Really?
They don't do it anymore.
Huh.
We shut down those Canadians. We shut them out. We built a wall. No, none of that happened.
Canadians,
I don't know why they just don't like coming to the camp anymore.
Canadians, and again, it's dangerous to stereotype, right? I mean,
but it's kind of fun, so let's do it.
It's intellectually lazy.
Let's do it anyway.
Oh, you Canadians. But
it's hot. We're dumber today. Let's go there.
They do tend to be friendlier.
Oh, they're way nicer.
They're fairly accommodating.
They give you maple cookies and poutine and Tom Thumb. Isn't that Canadian? Right? Is it Tom Thumb or it's the donut shop?
No, it's the Horton.
Oh, is that Tim Horton? There
Tim Horton,
go.
Yeah.
Tom Thumb.
Tom Thumb.
I am getting dumber in the heat.
It's the heat. It's 95. I'm sorry. It's 95 degrees outside.
I'm just going to blame it on the heat.
Let's just do time and temperature for the rest of the show.
We love Canadians. We love all things Canada. Well, the reason Paul and I are talking about Canada is because they seem to really have their act together when it comes to immigration. But is that all just a farce and I'm high on maple cookies? I don't know. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's the
way. I have
to
do a drug test on you. Does sugar count as a drug? It is. You could make the case that it's the most inclusive country in the world in its attitude towards immigrants, religion, and sexuality. This is according to a 2018 survey by the polling company Ipsos. So, And they have a higher percentage of immigrants.
Immigrants, yes, foreign folks living there.
Legal immigrants. Mm-hmm. They came in legally, mm-hmm. and they don't seem to have the debate, the controversy, the angst that we do here in the United States when it comes to even legal immigration.
I'm going to ask our next guest, is it because they don't get the rapists and the murderers that we're getting here? I don't know. Maybe you get the good immigrants. We're going to find out. Anthony Fury is the editor and columnist for Post Media, Canada's largest newspaper chain. Anthony, thanks for putting up with us today.
Hey, great to be here. Yes, it's Tim Hortons, and I highly recommend the maple donut if you do get that version in your U.S. location.
Ooh, the maple donut.
We have one at the Mall of America. I'm going to go get that donut.
Yeah, yeah. So we have to ask the question, Anthony. What the Canadians seem to have figured things out. Why isn't there sort of the populist backlash that we have here in the United States when it comes to immigration?
Well, it's an interesting time to ask that question because we do have a bit of a snafu here happening with our immigration. I'll tell you about that in a moment because I know you're probably asking more about the general system.
Yeah, how does it work?
We have a pretty discriminating taste here. So proportionately, we do accept a lot more immigrants than the United States' numbers, I believe. And we certainly accept a lot more refugees than U.S. numbers. I think we pretty much accept about the same number, actually, every year. But, of course, we're just the size of California. So proportionally, we could say we accept 10 times more refugees than you guys do. But our immigration system, and we bring in about 250,000 to 300,000 people a year, I think it works, and I think we're all pretty happy with it, because we do an economic intake whereby people get points. We have a point system, and based on your education and sort of the assets you have with you and the degree to which you speak English, you get more points, and the people with the greater number of points have a greater likelihood of coming in. So I think that basic fact is what has enabled us to be sort of happier with our immigration system.
Well, I mean, then tell us about asylum. Are you getting folks that are claiming, I mean, you know, people are coming to you that have education, that have money. Sure, that's great. I can see why you would want to take them because they can take care of themselves. What about immigrants from countries that are war-torn, that, you know, are refugees? Well, what do you do with refugees?
Well, we bring them in. And the important thing, though, is that we previously vet them, either through our own people being in the displacement camp, the refugee camp they're in, or through our own people or some sort of UN agency. I mean, we do our own version of, I think the term your president uses is extreme vetting. And, and I guess we try to do that as much as possible in terms of making sure that we get the right people. We actually had a rather troublesome story that one of my colleagues wrote about the Yazidi people who are in northern Iraq and Syria. They're a small Christian minority. They're being persecuted, and we're bringing in some of them as refugees. And there is a woman who is here who she had been abducted and she had been raped, and she's on a bus in a smaller town. She gets off the bus, and she looks to the side, and she sees her abductor, and he had been let in as a refugee as well. So there can be cracks in the system, in that we want to make sure we are getting the people who are actually seeking refuge, not the people who caused the trouble in the first place.
I want to know what you do when you get these refugees. How do you handle them? Because somebody texted in earlier when we said we were doing this, and someone texted in and said they don't let anybody in. And then another person says they separate children and parents at the border for a much longer time. Is there any truth to that?
No, we let people in, and we would only separate children and parents at the border. I guess, if the children come on their own, but if the parents are seen to have been wanted for or recently committed a heinous crime and they're going to be going in the system and the children go into the children's aid system. No, that's not really the case at all. But one separation we do, which I think is integral to the success of it, and I just don't know whether the U.S. has it or not, we have government-sponsored refugees, so the people who just come in on the government planes, and then they usually just go on welfare right away, and hopefully they learn English and get a job soon and so forth. But we also have something called privately sponsored refugees, where we have, say, a lot of Christian churches who go, you know what, we're gonna bring in a Syrian family of five, and you've got all these people in the congregation, and one guy says in the congregation, well, I run a hardware store, I'll hire the dad. And then this other group of people say, well, we'll teach them English. And then other folks say, we're going to corral some furniture for them. So you have a huge support system around them to make sure that they do succeed and that they get work and that they learn the language and so forth. And that is way more successful than the government people, the ones who just end up coming here and, you know, getting on welfare.
Anthony, there's a mindset in this country among some, not all, but some, that immigrants are a leech on our social services here in the United States. It would appear that even many conservative Canadians see these incoming workers, again, legal immigrants, as an economic benefit. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people do just look at the numbers and see that that is the case. Because, again, if we're bringing in people for specific work deficits, or we're insisting they have a certain degree of education. We've got housing issues in Toronto and Vancouver, just like I'm sure there is in Manhattan and so forth, where real estate is going up really high. And one of the reasons is because a lot of new immigrants are coming to the Toronto area, and they're coming with a lot of assets, and they're doctors or they're engineers and so forth. So just new people are coming, and they're instantly entering the housing market as opposed to sort of the lower rental market. So we obviously have a proportion of immigrants and refugees who do end up on welfare and social services, but it's not the majority.
Very interesting. And I know you have your share of far-right groups, but is it true the most successful populist movement in Canada has been pro-immigrant?
Well, right now, Doug Ford, he's the Premier of Ontario. He actually just gave his throne speech today, which is kind of like the State of the Union address. So he only really just got in. And he's been likened a lot to President Trump, and there's a lot of truth to that in some respects. But he's not really being accused of any sort of racial divide, partially because anytime you see a picture of him, you see he's being surrounded by people from the Indian ethnic communities, Chinese communities, and Black communities who just love him because he's really speaking to their interests. So he is very much a populist, and a lot of similarities to President Trump, but you can't really accuse him of any kind of identity division.
What advice would you have for listeners here in the United States when it comes to immigration? And again, we should point out this is legal immigration. My understanding, again, correct me if I'm wrong, a stat that made me do a triple take, 15 to 20% of Canada's total population is made up of immigrants. Here in the United States, immigrants have never exceeded 15% of the total population since the 1850s. Any high-altitude advice that you'd have for people who are suspect of immigration?
Well, you want to make sure that the integrity of the system holds and that people feel like they're getting, you know, the right people across. I've got to say, when there was the drama in the U.S. headlines about this chain migration issue, I did look it up at research, and I thought, wow, we don't really have anything like that here in Canada. So I appreciate why people get a bit frustrated by that. And then I know you've got the stuff at the Mexico border, which, you know, to your point, you're saying, well, we're not talking about legal, we're talking about illegal there. But I guess people, if they feel like the system is has a bunch of kinks in it, they're kind of maybe going to question the entirety of the system. And luckily, our system has been able to be pretty tight, so we're able to send the message more, hey, this is okay. We're doing it right. More or less the right way.
And you also are surrounded by oceans, so you have less people sneaking across the border, probably.
No Americans trying to sneak in yet, Anthony?
No Minnesotans?
No, don't laugh, though, because how I said we have a bit of drama. At the Vermont-Quebec border, we now have about 20,000 people a year crossing illegally into Canada, and that is getting some protests, and it's causing some headaches. So we have a very micro version of what's at the Mexico border. I don't think they're not mostly American U.S. nationals. They're people from Nigeria and Haiti and so forth. So we got our own little thing.
What do you do with those folks, though? Do you send them back to the U.S., or do you hold them and you integrate them in your system?
Well, a bit of both. And it's very kind of contentious here because we don't detain people like I know ICE generally does. Mm-hmm. We go, okay, you've come in, you're claiming asylum, you're going to have a hearing. And the majority of them so far have been issued for deportation. We're slow to deport them, but we've had their hearings. And the majority of them have been told, no, you have to go back. Yeah. So they will be sent back at some point. But in the meantime, they kind of live just freely among the communities because they're only here perhaps temporarily waiting for their hearing. They do end up getting into the social services and the welfare and housing. So this is the one that's causing us a bit of social cohesion problems.
Interesting.
All right.
You were fascinating. And we will ask you to come back on the show again, Anthony. Thank you.
Thanks. I'd love to.
Yeah. Anthony Fury, editor and columnist for Post Media, Canada's largest newspaper chain. Interesting stuff.
Thank you, Anthony. And we want to get this on the air as quickly as possible. We do have a severe thunderstorm warning now for southeastern Chisago, northeastern Washington, northern St. Croix, and southeastern Polk County. This is till 5:45. Even some rotation in this cell. Again, winds up to 60, quarter-size hail. This warning in effect, northeastern metro until 5:45. The line coming through the immediate metro right now. And there is a severe storm watch, which does include the metro until 1 a.m. So, yeah, it's going to be lively out there for the next couple of hours. And there could be some flash flooding. This line just creeping along. That's going to prolong the intense rains and make for some rough travel out there.
It's 5:24. More on the weather and much more when we return on CCO.
Yeah, it's nasty out there. It was in the mid-90s with a heat index of 106. A lot of heat, a lot of energy, a lot of moisture in the air. A new warning has just been issued now for southwestern Hennepin County and northeastern Carver County. It includes Mound, St. Bonnie, Orono, Minnetonka, Shorewood, Eden Prairie, Chanhassen. These storms capable of 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts and penny to quarter-size hail. They are moving to the east-southeast fairly slowly. So the threat is going to linger for at least the next couple of hours. Not sure what the implications are for the Twins game. I know that the Twins have a meteorologist on staff. Of course, they want to keep everybody safe, especially when it comes to lightning. We'll keep you posted on that. There is another warning in effect. Northeastern Metro till 5:45. It includes Scandia, Somerset, New Richmond, Star Prairie, Osceola, Dresser. Those storms also pushing east at about 20 to 30 miles an hour. So this line is going to be with us for the next couple of hours, and these storms may keep redeveloping along this frontal boundary. A reminder that a severe storm watch is in effect for most of southern Minnesota, including the Twin Cities Metro, southwestern and central Wisconsin, also under this severe storm watch until 1 a.m. It's going to be a noisy night, and there is a potential for some flash flooding with these storms. We will keep you posted and have more updates as long as we are on the air. We'll have more for you coming up on CCO. Well, that's an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Almost 2 inches of rain in Coon Rapids in the last 45 minutes. Someone's located near the WCCO radio tower.
Yeah, we want to hear from you. Let us know what's happening in your hometown right now. Text us at 81807, or you can even give us a call, 651-989-9226. One texter writes, soaking wet blankets all along the parade route for the Maple Grove Days parade this evening.
Sad.
Ew, pouring rain in Maple Grove. Yeah, it's really coming down. I just read a special bulletin from the National Weather Service. They're talking about rain falling at the rate of 3 inches an hour. I mean, that is heavy-duty rain. And obviously, when it rains that hard, that fast, The ground can't soak up the water. It has to almost immediately run off into streets and streams and rivers. So, yeah, the flash flood risk is considerable. Want to just mention again, we do have a severe thunderstorm warning for parts of Hennepin County, southwestern Hennepin and east central Carver County, talking about wind gusts 60 to 70 miles an hour, maybe some 3/4 to 1 inch diameter hail. And this does include Bloomington, Plymouth, Eden Prairie, Minnetonka, Edina, St. Louis Park, Shakopee, Savage, Chaska, Chan, Golden Valley, and Hopkins. And, yeah, the downtowns, too, the close-in suburbs, Minneapolis, St. Paul, not under the warning technically, but it's the same band that's moving through. Most of us will experience torrential rain. And there is that flood threat, and some of us could see some minor to moderate wind damage and some hail damage as well. We do have another warning issued for parts of Washington County. Again, the warning still in effect for New Richmond, Star Prairie, Amory, Clear Lake, under a warning until 5:45. That warning for the Southwest Metro is in effect until 6 o'clock. So... As far as we know, the Twins game is still on. Again, it's scheduled for 7:10. Obviously, if there's any lightning in the area, the game will be postponed until the lightning threat passes. Safety of fans and players and coaches
mascots.
Comes first. Mascots.
Let's go to Steve. Steve is in his car. Steve, where are you headed? What are you seeing?
Hey there. Yeah, I'm headed west on Highway 55 and coming up on Rockford here in the line of blue sky here. So we're going to get the sunglasses out.
Oh. You're coming out of the line. Good for you. You're heading in the right direction, Steve.
Right. I'm looking in the rear view, though. It's pitch black that way.
Yeah, it's
going the right way.
You are going the right way. Keep driving west.
All right.
Into the sun. You
Thanks,
bet.
Steve.
Thanks for the update, right. Steve. And the temperature drops like 20 degrees in the span of a few minutes. I mean, we go from low to mid-90s to low to mid-70s as that line comes through. So the good news is, trying to find a silver lining, Jor, is that it will take the edge off the heat. Yeah, it'll be sticky, but I'd rather have it 75 and sticky than 95 and sticky.
Texters are saying this. There's lots of static on the radio. WCCO needs an FM channel.
We have one. 102.9, the sub-channel. 102.9. No,
that's
actually,
buzzing.
No. It's,
that's buzzing.
It, yeah. Because I listen on FM. So, anyway, we do have that.
Oh, it's HD. Susan's saying it's HD.
Yeah, you need an HD, right?
You need an HD radio for that. Let's see. There is flooding on the side of the street. I encountered one car in an intersection that was stalled because of the water, and this is in Coon Rapids. Ooh, be careful up there, okay?
I saw a woman driving in the downpour in Plymouth in a VW convertible with a roof that wouldn't raise.
Oh, no. That's horrible. That stinks. I'm so sorry. I hope she is safely ensconced in her garage.
Yeah. Tom reporting 1/2 inch of rain in Plymouth in 5 minutes. That's a Skywarn report. 1.16 inches measured in 34 minutes, 5 miles north of Lexington and 35W. Thank you.
I always said we had many smart listeners. This one texts, I'm on my way to the Twins game. I think I'll park in Northeast and wait to hear if the game is postponed. I don't want to pay for parking if I don't have to.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
That is a good plan.
The whole line is just creeping along at about 5 to 10 miles an hour. I think the worst of the storms will be through downtown Minneapolis, including Target Field, by about 7 o'clock. It's going to be close. And the concern is that along this boundary that separates mid-90s from mid-70s, the storms will just keep firing. And it's called a train echo effect.
Train echo.
This is why Maura picked up 7 inches of rain. You get storm after storm. One storm fizzles, a new storm takes its place. And as long as these storms keep training,
right,
much like the cars in a train pass over the same section of track, that's how you can rack up these crazy amounts of rain, 3, 5, 7, 10 inches of rain in a few hours. So the metro, as well as all of southern Minnesota, under a severe thunderstorm watch until 1 a.m., And so everybody is under the gun right now. And there's another warning which has been issued for northeastern Scott and east central Carver County. That includes Mystic Lake Casino, Eden Prairie, Burnsville, Shakopee, Savage, Credit River, Victoria, Prior Lake. Again, these storms have a history of producing strong winds. Just getting a report in Shakopee, Steve Bros reports 60-mile-an-hour winds measured 1 mile west of Shakopee and a gust to 66. So, yeah, these storms are severe, and they are moving through the metro right now. No reports of any tornadoes, if that's any consolation, but a lot of reports of wind gusts over 50, 60 miles an hour. And again, torrential driving. I mean, we're talking monsoon rains with this line.
Some of the texters, right? If you see anything, 651-989-9226 is our number. 394 in Xenia, headed into downtown. Torrential rain since leaving Mound. That's Kay. Kay, be careful out there. 1.25 inches in Independence in 35 minutes. Fast. Guys, why are so many people driving without their lights on? Isn't that illegal? Is it illegal?
I think it is, yeah. Yes. And again, it's not to see, it's to be seen.
Right.
In some cases, people have been reporting that you can't see more than a few car lengths ahead. So if your lights are on, there's a better chance that the guy behind you, the guy in front of you, will see you. And so, yeah.
The rule is, if your wipers are on, your lights are on.
And that's a law.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Minnesota law.
There you go. That's brought to you by the Lennox Premier Dealer Storm Center. Susan Blanche in with that
update.
Thank
you, Susan.
Linda's in St. Paul. Linda, do you have another update from the Lennox Premier Dealer Storm Center?
Well, I have a question for Paul.
Sure.
I am driving in St. Paul, but I actually have a lake home north of Mora. And my question is, you happen to know if the 7 inches of rain helps improve lake water quality, or does it hurt it?
I think it hurts it because of the runoff.
Okay.
That amount of rain, you're going to have very significant runoff. And you also get phosphates, fertilizers, you know, running off into streams and lakes and rivers. So when you get that amount of rain, Linda, I don't think it's good for the lakes. No.
Darn. Okay.
But that's what the wetlands are for, to filter out some of the pollutants. And you know, it'll recover. It may take a few days or a week or two to recover. But, yeah, when it comes down this hard, it's not good for our lakes.
Darn it. I was hoping it maybe would cleanse the lake, but obviously not.
No.
Sorry, Linda.
Oh, well, thank you.
But thanks for calling in. You be safe out there, all right?
I bet she's happy today.
She must be very happy, although this one listener says, delivering pizza in pouring rain in Anoka, usually people tip better in bad weather. Not tonight.
Come on, cheapskates, tip well.
A lot of standing water out there on the highways. Slow down. Eric Nelson is driving on I-94 downtown. Hey, Eric, how's it going?
Celebrity caller.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was tuning you guys in to know where I should go and shouldn't go. I'm on the I-94 River. Look, it was jammed in Brooklyn Center. And then when you get to the I-94, 694 split, the traffic gets a lot better going into downtown Minneapolis. But it is absolute gridlock going across the Mississippi. And as Paul said, there is some standing water. I'm noticing it mostly on the shoulder areas. Traffic right around 50 to 53 miles an hour. But a lot of dark skies above and some occasional flashes of lightning.
Be safe out there, buddy, okay? It only takes 6 inches of water to get you in trouble.
Appreciate the update.
You're absolutely right.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Good night for light rail or just hanging tight and trying to stay off the highways.
Off the highway.
These storms are going to be with us for the next couple of hours, and they may redevelop later on tonight. We'll keep you posted round the clock on your weather station, CCO.
Keep it tuned here. You'll hear if the Twins game is delayed, if you're sitting in your car. We're still waiting on it. No information.
We'll let you know as soon as we do. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you tomorrow.